Abba, in the name of Yeshua, we come before you with your words. We come before you in your seasons that you set forth. Your miracles, Yeshua, who cleanses our temple today. Abba, in this season of rededicating our temples, our houses, our inner souls, we ask that Yeshua visit us, walk inside us, and help us to clean our house. We praise you, Father, for the word you sent in the flesh to give us order in our lives and to reflect back to that which we were designed to never leave, that which was designed to bless us. Yeshua, the walking word, the Torah of Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. God, you are one. In Yahshua's name, amen. Miketz, in the end of, is this parsha? Now, for those who are new, I want to go over something. I say parsha means Torah portion. Today, this Torah portion, Miketz, is Bereshit, Genesis 41:1 to 44:17, is read around the world in the synagogues. Messianic synagogues all over the world, everyone who is in the ways of Elohim and are studying them and coming in, the ingathering and the regathering of the house of Israel, are looking into this. And it's very prophetic too, because many times I tell people, what is in the Torah Parsha this week, whatever week it may be, is operating in our lives that week. And so this is a two-week, I call it a two-week Parsha, because it's tied directly together and it's the reuniting of Joseph and his brothers, which Joseph means he will add. And so as he comes forth with his brothers and reveals himself, there is an addition to the house of Israel, an addition of love and repentance, teshuvah. I wanted to say a couple of things here that I've been revealed of, if you want to write this down. The first one is consider the holidays you observe. They reveal the God you serve. Consider the holidays you observe. They reveal the God you serve. Adonai has invited his people for thousands of years to join him in his modim, which means his appointments. And he's the king. I darn sure don't want to make the king mad at me, because he has presence for us in Revelation and the Word. Faith in Yeshua should not contradict the faith of Yeshua. Faith in Yeshua should not contradict the faith of Yeshua. Always remember that. In whom does one believe? Is it the one Moshe wrote about? John 5:46-47.
For if you believed Moshe, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?
Very powerful statement. If you do not believe his writings, which in some circles is called the law, and some circles even say it was done away with, that makes Yeshua sad. For if you believe Moshe, you will believe in me, for he wrote about me. Yosef, the story of Yosef, is such a huge, when you look into it in a relationship that you all have with your God, with our God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we see a very good testimony of how one can be taken into captivity as a slave and rise above his situation. You see in a situation here that Yosef's confinement was only physical, not spiritual. Always remember, no matter what he went through, he was free in the ways of Elohim to rise above and conquer every situation he was put in. His confinement as a slave and then going to prison was only physical, not spiritual. How many of us allow our physical confinements to become our spiritual confinements? This is where our weakness is revealed in ourselves. And this is where Abraham overcame, and so did Joseph. He taught it to his sons taught it to their sons, how to overcome physical confinement and not allow it to be a spiritual confinement. This is very strong, because Joseph is a perfect example of one who waited on Elohim. Genesis 41, 1 through 45. Thank you, Paul, for reading.
Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on 1 stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted it for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Yosef, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, I have had a dream, and there is no one here who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Yosef answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace.
Amen.
Then Pharaoh said to Yosef, behold, in my dream I stood on the bank of the river. Suddenly 7 cows came up out of the river, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first 7, the fat cows. When they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So I awoke. Also I saw in my dream, and suddenly 7 heads came up on the 1 stalk, full and good. Then behold, 7 heads, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin heads devoured the 7 good heads. So I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Yosef said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the 7 thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Mitzrayim. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh 2 times, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let him keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Mitzrayim, that the land may not perish during the famine. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the spirit of Elohim? Then Pharaoh said to Yosef, Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Yosef's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, Bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Yosef, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Yosef's name Zaphath-Paniah. And he gave him a wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Yosef went out over all the land of Mitzrayim.
King's dreams are answered by the Hebrews' God. This is amazing. When I go and look into this, Egyptians wouldn't even eat with Hebrews. Yet a Hebrew answers Pharaoh. God uses a Hebrew to bring completion to Pharaoh. 7 years, seven cows, seven heads of corn or wheat. Seven in Hebrew is completion, and number eight is new beginning. Yosef's confinement was only physical, not spiritual. When we read this passage of Yosef being raised up, the picture of Yeshua being raised up, I can't help but going to Daniel 2, 1 through 49, another Hebrew who answers, is used by God to answer the dreams of kings. Now you notice Daniel and Yosef speak the same thing. They both give credit to Elohim. They both say it is him who reveals the dream. For they both knew that man alone, by his own wisdom, cannot interpret a dream. It is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that interprets dreams. And those close to him, he uses to reveal things. Yosef and Daniel had one thing in common. Psalms 37, 31.
The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide.
They had one thing in common, Psalms 40, verse 8.
I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart.
Your Torah, which is teaching, is within my heart. He says, I delight to do your will. Psalms 37, 34.
Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it.
They knew these things. They were trained in these things from when they were first taught to read. They were taught to read from the Torah, as the Israelis are today. When I was in first grade, they taught me to read about Dick and Jane. Did me no good. All I knew was I ran uphill and they ran downhill. That was my life from then on. I ran uphill, I ran downhill. And then me and my brother at the Kanishba ruins in White River, we decided to roll down the hill. Do somersaults were fun. That was my life, a metaphor. Rolling down a hill, running back up to roll down again. But these people were trained in the ways of Elohim. Yosef, a Tzadik person, which means an upright one, who waits on Elohim, dreamed about working in the field with his brothers, binding sheaves. Pharaoh, on the other hand, a wicked man, had a dream which involved no effort on his part at all. This highlights the fact that all matters of holiness require effort. There will be some say, oh, you know, that bunch over there, they're trying to work out their salvation. But actually, there's a lot of scripture that talks about search for wisdom as if for silver and gold. It creates effort. You cannot sit in a chair and say, okay, God, give me all you have. Because he'll give you all he has, but it won't be what you expected. Psalms 119, 162.
I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure.
Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. I love this.
My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of Elohim.
Key verse in here. You have to apply yourself to understanding. Too many people are taught. I was too. You're good just where you're at. Now go ahead, live out your life and die. You'll go to heaven. So how was I to serve God? You get in and dig. And you find the will of Elohim for your life. Open the heart, circumcise the heart to him, not to the ways of man. Colossians 2, 1 through 3.
For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and for those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and obtaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Mashiach, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
In the Father and Mashiach are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The commentary about Pharaoh being wicked, the term wicked comes from the meaning of combining two different types of material for one wick, which is syncretism. A false light. This set of dreams are for us today a warning that we have to study to apply. That is very important. It's so important. There was a statement in the Chumash. It is very wise. Soil, when they come to the grain, in the Hebrew it talks about the grain, they stored it with some of the soil as a preservative. Soil represents humility. As in the verse recited at the end of the Amidah, may my soul be like soil to everybody. Just like soil preserves grain, so too, humility is an essential preservative for the Torah, which a person studies. Without humility, there is no reason to even go into the words of God. It is an essential preservative for the Torah, which a person studies, to prevent it from decaying. For without humility, knowledge of Torah may corrupt rather than refine a person. If his pursuit of wisdom is not driven by a desire to connect to God, but rather by his own self-love and inflated ego, which in the Messianic movement is an abundance. Rashi adds, for this person, one must use local soil, such as one's humility must be in the same area as one's greatness. It is not sufficient for the Torah scholar to be meek and humble in his daily conduct and silently arrogant about his understanding of the Torah. Rather, the scholar should be humbled by his Torah study also, realizing that what he knows represents but a drop of God's infinite wisdom that is found within the words of the Torah. This is why for centuries, for thousands of years, the Jewish people have held to the Torah. The dedication that goes into writing a Torah scroll is immense. The mikvah, which means a ritual cleansing bath in between every four letters. If they make one mistake, they throw the whole page away. Humility These people don't even hardly talk. Humility is the key to success with the words of God. This set of dreams are for us today a warning that we should study to apply. So implying that one learns will be able to share with others and also have an ample supply of Torah wisdom to apply and carry one through a spiritual famine. Amos 8:11. This is happening now.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord.
A famine of hearing the words of Elohim. What are the words that they're talking about at that time? The Tanakh. The Torah. This is happening now. In Genesis 41:1, there's a major spiritual lesson held within the dreams of Pharaoh. Seven fat cows devoured by seven gaunt cows. And seven fat heads of grain swallowed up by the seven thin heads that were stressed by the east wind. Yosef knew the yearly cycle of spring and summer, giving up their growth to the coldness of fall and winter. Then repeated again, going back to spring and begin anew. He was also aware that cows and grain represented food, and that the number seven, meaning completion, gives way to new beginning. He also noted the mention of the east wind, Kadim. The east wind is a noun that denotes the desert wind, which brings feared destruction, as in Job. It is absolutely controlled by Elohim, even for good, as in Exodus, when he so desires. Yosef was connected to the ways of Elohim so that the dream instantly revealed to him Yahweh's intentions on earth. Through Pharaoh, the head of Mitzrayim of Egypt. Being revealed through Pharaoh's dream showed Yosef that it was going to take place in Egypt, and that Egypt would be the place for the storing of food for the survival of the seven lean years of drought. And so by Yahweh's amazing design, Yosef was put in charge to prepare for famine, which he was aware that famine causes people to gather. Like Yosef, we must too prepare ourselves in good days. Days in which set apartness is revealed. To set the light in our hearts as a completeness. A shalom that we receive from his revealing himself in our lives and in his word. For his word is similar to a harvest of spiritual strength. We must prepare for the days when it all seems so far off, a famine of sort, as in Amos 8:11. As Joseph was appointed to do, so are we in the spiritual sense. We are all in Mitzrayim right now. We are in Egypt. To survive, we get into the Word. As Joseph was appointed to do, so are we. This keeps us sustained spiritually when events turn against us. It is through this storing up of his word of abundance that we are completed. A completeness that will carry us through the years of trials that will complete us again and again as overcomers. And these 7 years, I want to add here to this commentary that I wrote years ago. 7 years, 7 days. As I've said before, if you have something troubling you about someone or an issue in your life, give it 7 days. Pray 7 days. It's a completion. If you come into the Torah of Elohim with the spirit of the Torah, Yeshua, give it 7 years. Don't expect yourself to know it all at once. We are not in competition. We are in a realm that Elohim has put us in. We are to digest his word and give yourself 7 years. And I will guarantee you at the end of 7 years, that Torah cycle you go through will look completely different than the first one you entered into. You will be revealed each year a different facet of the angle of God. Every Torah cycle you go through. And at the end of 7 years, your 8th year will be your new beginning. I guarantee it. I've seen it happen over and over, and I'm watching it happen today in people getting completed. That is my agenda for standing up here right now, and that's it. Of watching the eyes of people go, aha, I get it. This makes sense. This is what I was looking for. I see a lot of heads nodding. It's true. God reaches down inside us and wakes us up. That part of us that was marked at Sinai in our ancestors. Because there was more than just thunder and lightning going on there. It was the power of God himself. Changing the DNA in those people for thousands of years later, their ancestors to return back. Teshuvah back to the ways of God. Without the religion of man. Praise Elohim for what he does in our lives. The dreams interpreted. The interpretations belong to God. Genesis 40, verse 8.
And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Yosef said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please."
Do not interpretations belong to God? Yosef said, "It is written, it may be that God who sent the dreams will give me the interpretation of them. Then man cannot by his own wisdom interpret dreams. God alone can reveal their true meanings. Perhaps he will favor me," Yosef was thinking, "with wisdom to explain its meaning." Adonai, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we praise you, for you are the holy ground. You are that who raises man up from the dust.